Psalm 23, please. You pray for me. I need to be able to preach this without raising my voice. And that's kind of hard for me. But the Lord is able. I'll have, let's see. Brother Mark, why don't you come up here and read Psalm 23 for us, brother? You got this mic on, Timothy? All right. Here it is right here, brother.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Amen. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake.
Yes.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Mark. Appreciate that. And we're going to focus this morning on verse number 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Would you pray with me, and please pray for me? Lord, I need you. And Lord, we all need you. And we ask by the power of your Spirit that you would speak today. And Lord, change our lives. We all have needs here this morning, Lord, that there are some that the only person that knows about them is you. And Lord, you're the only person that can give the solution that's needed. And so with that truth, we ask you to visit with us with your presence and your power. And God, may we be changed forever for your glory. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. This will be the last message of this particular series on this particular name of God. The Lord is my shepherd, Jehovah Ra'ah, and that we have looked at all the aspects of the shepherd and sheep relationship and how awesome and incredible it is indeed as we are like sheep, and how we can look to the shepherd with confidence. David had much experience as a shepherd, and so he was able to relate with the fact of how to shepherd and how sheep are to respond to the shepherd. And we've learned much. And as we close out this morning's message, we're going to see how it is a crowning cap to just a wonderful poem for the heavy heart, and to reassure us of our shepherd's great and almighty love. I hope today that if you in any way feel unloved this morning, I pray this morning without a doubt you will leave here knowing that God Almighty loves you with an infinite love. The title of this morning's message is, My Shepherd Pursues Me. My Shepherd Pursues Me. I want to focus on one word to start off with in verse 6. Notice the word follow. You can circle that word. It's a word that carries a great amount of meaning. In fact, it means more than how we would use it today. If I were to say, here, you take the lead, if I didn't know where I was going, you know, and I would say, listen, could you take the lead? I'm going to follow you. that would just sort of mean I'm going to be behind you looking out for you. But this word here goes even deeper than just a general going after. This word right here in the Hebrew word carries the idea of pursuing. In fact, it's translated in some cases pursuing. It's even translated hunting, to hunt. In fact, the majority of the time that this word is used, church, it is in the context of a predator chasing its prey, which is sort of interesting when we think about the context of this verse. But this is an exception. This is not a predator chasing its prey. This is the loving shepherd chasing after his sheep with goodness and mercy. This same word you see translated a couple hundred times, but just to illustrate again, in its normal context, and the idea of going after with fervor and with the intentions of causing harm, we find it in there in Exodus chapter 14. It says in the context, but the Egyptians pursued after them. When the Egyptians were going over the children, going after the children of Israel to wipe them out, that's what they intended to do. It said that the Egyptians pursued them, same Hebrew word as we have in our text. It says all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army and overtook them encamping by the sea. So there was a fervent chasing after. And I want to tell you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, God Almighty is chasing after you and me. Is that not an awesome thought? In 1981, for the record, I was a year old. A Minnesota radio station reported a story about a stolen car in California. Police were staging an intense search for the vehicle and the driver, even to the point of placing announcements on local radio stations to help catch the thief. On the front seat of the stolen car sat a box of crackers that, unknown to the thief, were laced with poison. The car owner had intended to use the crackers as rat bait. Now the police and the owner of the Volkswagen Bug were more interested in apprehending the thief to save his life than to recover the car. And so often, when we run from God, we feel it is to escape His punishment. But what we are actually doing is eluding His rescue. God Almighty comes after us always to offer His goodness and His mercy, even in the context, of course, and even more so, should I say, when we have messed up, when we have sinned against Him, He is coming to offer forgiveness. But so many times, we go the other way. Notice with me a few things here. Truths, four truths I want to share with you. And just in case I don't get through all of them, let me go ahead and give them to you. Four truths about the shepherd pursuing his sheep. Number one, I want us to see the certainty of his pursuit. Number two, the cause of his pursuit. Number three, the continuation of his pursuit. And number four, the crown of his pursuit. Number one, we notice the certainty of his pursuit. Notice that word in your Bible, that first word. It's a beautiful word, is it not? Surely. Surely. Wow. What a word of assurance. We see this word used in words like it all throughout the Word of God that speak not only of just surely, but truly. Certainly. You see, God is a God of His Word. He always keeps His Word. And He's always good. And we're going to see that the psalmist finishes off this poem with a word of certainty. What talking about you. Are you sure this morning that God is good? Are you sure that you, if you were to die at this moment, that you would wake up in the glorious place that God has prepared called heaven? If you're not sure of that, you need to get that settled, friend. That's the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. Turning to God and trusting the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then you can say that I know in whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which He has promised. God is a God of His Word. And we see surely how comforting. Number two, notice the cause of His pursuit. The cause of His pursuit. What is the cause? Well, I want to look at these two words, goodness and mercy. Goodness and mercy. That's the cause. I mean, can we explain it any other way, ladies and gentlemen? Why would God chase somebody like you and me? The reason He chases us is not because I'm impressive to God. But it's because He is inherently, innately, and infinitely good. And when He comes after me, it's because God is goodness. And I'm thankful this morning that I can meditate on that. It's based, number one, on His character. God is in pursuit of us because He is good. That word good is the Hebrew word tov. It is good in the widest and most comprehensive sense. It is translated in throughout the Word of God 391 times good, 72 times as better, 20 as well and others as best, goodness, merry, fair, favor. I'm thankful this morning that my God is good. No matter what. I like what my preacher friend, Pastor Chris Edwards, said in a message he preached. He said, I'm thankful God is good. He said that God is emotionally good. He's physically good. He's economically good. He's practically good. He's spiritually good. In all of its dimensions, God is good. Good. Aren't you glad the opposite's not true? Aren't you thankful this morning that God is not innately bad? Aren't you glad this morning that God is not mean? That's not the God of the Bible. Yes, can God be wrathful? Of course. But it's always with the attribute of righteousness. Because He's good. In fact, you know what makes God's mercy so amazing and His goodness so amazing? It is indeed because of what I deserve and what I should get. He offers the other. It makes it that much more special. That is what I meditate on this morning. I don't deserve His goodness, but His grace. But by His grace, He gives it to me. Is He angry with the wicked every day? Yes. But we also read that no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. You see, His goodness and His His judgment and His mercy and His judgment, they don't contradict each other. God is all of them at the same time. But we know that the difference is how we respond to Him. That's what will make the difference. Whether you experience the anger of God or the blessings and goodness of God is a decision that you have to make and that I have to make daily. Because He's just and He's pure and He's holy and righteous and He's good. I kind of understand what the psalmist had said when he said, I had fainted unless, he says, I had believed to see in the goodness of God. I wish I could expound on that a little bit, because the Word of God says, I believe. That means He made a choice of the will to put His faith, even when maybe He wasn't feeling it. And so many people go through life saying, I don't feel God's goodness. Well, how about just believe that God's good? So as a man thinketh, so is he. You start getting back to just putting your faith in the Word of God, you'll start seeing your heart follow. Let your feelings follow your faith, not the other way around. It'll change everything in your life and my life. Some of you are living in defeat because you're just following your feelings. You're mad, you're angry, you're bitter, you're jealous, you're envy. And it controls your life because you refuse to believe that God is good no matter what has taken place in your life. And God is chasing you, saying, no, I'm a loving shepherd. And I'm coming after you, pursuing you. Look at the next word with me. Merciful. Merciful. What does that mean? Well, this word in the Hebrew is chasid. It's used 248 times in Scripture. It's translated mercy 149 times. It's translated kindness 40 times. Loving kindness 30 times. And so on. Goodness and merciful and pity. Hey, aren't you glad God pities us? Aren't you thankful, my friends, that God's got a soft spot in His heart for every one of us? You ever heard that phrase? We use it in English anyway, but that individual's got a soft spot for this type of thing or for this person. Well, I want you to know God's got a soft spot for you. He pities you and me. He's good. He's merciful. He's kind. He's gracious. I think of His character. Everybody do something right now. This might help me clear my throat a little bit. Everybody take a real deep breath. All right, here we go. All right, exhale. Did that feel good? Maybe some of you did. They say that there is a physiological effect on the brain when someone takes a deep breath like that and blows out. Almost puts the mind at ease. The church, I want to say that the goodness and mercy of God ought to be a deep breath for the child of God. When you think upon that, it ought to just bring a renewal in your soul, a renewal in your mind of why you think and who you think God is. Not only because of His character, but our condition. The cause of His pursuit is our condition is bad. Have you ever noticed that your condition is bad without God? If you haven't, you're in a very bad condition. Romans chapter 7, Paul said, O wretched man that I am. He basically was saying that when I want to do good, evil is present with me. Even as a believer, a It's there. And Paul said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. He said that as a believer. But you know, he concluded in that same verse of chapter 7 where he talked about how he struggled with his flesh. He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Because that is where the goodness and mercy is found. That's where deliverance is found. It's in Him. I want to say this, and I can see with the Apostle Paul here. If we deal honestly with ourselves, excuse me, I think I'm going to have to close after this point. If we deal honestly with ourselves, it will deliver us from a Pharisaic complacency and should draw us back to daily recognizing and depending on the goodness and mercy of God. Because a lot of us can quickly get into a mold of Pharisaic complacency that we're really not that bad. Folks, I like what encouragement was given by C.H. Spurgeon that he gave to some guys. He said that were the guys talking to a guy that was being criticized by some people in the church or something like that. And Spurgeon wanted to encourage this brother. He said, look, when someone criticizes you, be comforted by the fact that you are much more worse than what they're saying. Amen. You are much worse than what they are saying. That's the right perspective. That's what I am without the righteousness of God and God controlling my life. And I close with this. Folks, it's going to be every day. God's pursuing us every day. The psalmist said, all the days of my life, He's not going to leave you alone. Thank God. If you're a child here today of the Lord God, even when you mess up, He's going to be right there. He's going to follow you everywhere you go. I used to get so aggravated with my dad. He was such a narc. He was such a He was a policeman and everything, FBI. I mean, my dear dad would smell me when I came in the door. I'm going to smell your breath. Dad, what you been doing? Let me look at your eyes. My good night. You know, he'd follow me. I'd tell him, man, I'm going to so-and-so, my buddy's house. He'd just say, okay. I wasn't going to this buddy's house that I named. I was going to a different buddy's house. The different buddy's house was not somebody I should have been hanging out with. It was the wrong crowd. Well, I didn't know this, but when I pulled out the driveway, Daddy came following. And he followed me to the place, and of course, the rest is history. Why'd Dad do that? It's because he hated me. My dad loved me. He wanted to help hold me accountable. And God follows us every day, again, to offer His goodness and His mercy. You remember that question in Genesis, don't you? One of the first questions of the Bible. The first one was of deceit, which was from Satan. Has God really said? And then one of the first questions by God Almighty in Scripture is this. Adam, where art thou? He was pursuing Adam. He knew where Adam was. Maybe God's saying that this morning. Child of God, where are you? What are you doing? You know where you need to be. Maybe there's someone here today and you've never received Christ as your Savior. You have no idea where you're going when you die. And by the mercy of God, God brought you here this morning. It's only by the mercy of God to give you another chance. Could be your last. I can't make that determination. Only God knows that, but it could be. What if it is? Are you going to respond? And say, Lord, I hear you calling me to be saved. I trust you will. I pray you will respond to the grace of God. Last point, as I see the crown of his pursuit, what is the crown of our shepherd's love, of our shepherd pursuing us? It is the fact that I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. One day we're going to drop this flesh, this robe of flesh. We're going to drop this sin nature. We're going to drop the battles against Satan with our flesh here on earth. And we're going to enter into the presence of God for all eternity. And the battle will be over. But right now, I know the battle's raging. And so take comfort that God is good and He's merciful and He's working. I like the Westminster Catechism. You've probably heard it. What is the chief end of man? What is the chief end of man? To glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And that's what David realized. Because of God's goodness and His mercy in my life, all the times I've messed up, a man who was an adulterer, a murderer, you name it, David had been there. But by the end of his life, and I believe he wrote this toward the end of his life, he said, oh, the goodness and mercy of God shall pursue me all the days of my life. Be encouraged today, friend. I don't know who this message is for. I tried to get out of preaching it, honestly. I said, Lord, I cannot preach today. You know that. And He said, yes, you can. Go preach it. So would you pray with me?